Oh my gosh, we're back.
We're back.
Oh, wow. First of all, season five. Season five for basically at the kind of midpoint of the season, we would have done this now for 5 years.
Wow, we've made it longer than the precursor to Yellowstone.
Well,
I mean, yes, you started with hair.
That's true. That's how you really time it.
Y'all every week has made my hair go away.
Michael used to have hair. We mourn Michael's hair.
Please, I was about to say something, but let me not say it.
I'm going to silence for Michael's hair.
Right.
I'm going to silence for y'all's crow's feet.
Who?
Honey, black don't crack. Let's not
a line on this face.
Oh, if Lauren gets Botox.
Ooh.
And you know, if you did get Botox, that's between you, your surgeon, and God, and that's your business.
Amen.
That's just a buccal fat removal. That's all that is.
I'm about to clip my whole head back. You know the chip clips? I'm about to clip my whole head back.
Yeah.
You know, wow. We were talking about this. We had the fortunate privilege to do a kind of interview slash session with the Center of Music Learning that is held at Georgia College and State University. And in the middle of that, I was like, yeah, we're on season five. And, you know, talking about how we started and where we are now, it really shows like we've really been in our bag. We've been on our Zoom, literally.
Absolutely.
And it's just crazy. And we just want to thank everybody right now that have been on the journey with us, that have, you know, been part of our Road to Pitch family. We love seeing all of you. Another thing that, you know, we love hearing is that when we're just out and then they're like, are you on Road to Pitch? Yes. Yes, we are. Hi. We take our hiatus. And so just like every season, when we come back, let's figure out what we've been doing, where we are in the world, because y'all know we stay moving. So, Lauren, how is life? What are things like for you?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I mean, I think when we finished up here, season four, I think I was out of classes maybe at that point. I finished my second full year of my doctorate, which was really great. And I think also like I was finishing up programs at the symphony as well. Honestly, most of my traveling happened, I think, earlier in the year, you know, and so I think afterwards I went home to Georgia to see family, brought some friends from Seattle with me, got to see my two mains in Georgia, which is amazing. And I also went to National Food Association, you know, in San Antonio, I can't remember even when that was, it's been a blur, but it's really funny, actually. I have traveled significantly less this summer than I think I have in a lot of past summer, especially like since like leaving undergrad. Usually I feel like I'm in so many, or at least I stay in Georgia for maybe 2 to 3 weeks or such. And so I feel like this was actually my first time being in Seattle for most of the summer and experiencing it. So I feel like I've actually had a moment to like relax and think about the fact that this is my last year of school coming up. Like this is like, I plan to graduate this year. So anyone, if you're going through your last year of school, I'm with you. Let's go. We got it together, especially DMAs. We got to write. We got to put in the work. We got to write. But I'm so excited. I am supported by an amazing committee. I have great people in my life who are going to be here with me during the ride. Hopefully by the end of the season, y'all will be hearing about, you know, graduations upcoming. So,
that's
what it is right now. That's what it's been for me.
Mm-hmm. So. Michael?
Oh, yeah. I am in a new position now at my university. I am a full-time limited term lecturer and lecturer of trumpet and director of pet band. Go Athletics, Nighthawks, woo. Hawk 'em Nighthawks.
Wow. Yeah.
That
Is that what y'all
is
do?
that it? Nighthawk? Actually, a nighthawk is a very small bird. It's a very
Oh.
small bird.
But a hawk still goes like, that's their feet.
But like, this
Right.
is a small bird.
Small bird.
It is a small bird. I don't know why they chose this to be their mascot, but that's between them. Anyways, I'm there. I'm still with Chattanooga, tenured. Still doing the things around Georgia because, or around Atlanta because I can't just stay with one job. And then I had to move into a nice little rental house, northern, more north of Atlanta. I'm now over 30 minutes away from downtown and I'm kind of sad about it, but it's okay. We're living with our
Live in
truth.
the country.
Okay, it's not the country.
It's kind of a country.
It's
Okay, you haven't been here,
not even
so.
kinda. It is the country.
It's not the country. I grew up in the country. It ain't the country.
Heard.
Still
Okay.
Sadidi over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a boutique right down the road.
Not a
Yep.
boutique.
And
And a
they
concert 7 minutes
got a lot
away.
of boutiques anywhere in little small towns. It does not defeat the purpose that it's still a country.
Oof.
I think you're hating.
Mm.
I am going to write a lawsuit over this slander, this defamation of character.
Heard. Well, get the rhyme, boo. Get the writing.
Now, for someone who has moved,
Right.
Anthony, where you be? What you be doing?
Well, I am like a feather. I move with the wind. Whenever the wind blows, I move on. And right now, the wind has blew me all the way to good old Texas.
Come on.
I am in Houston, Texas right now. I've taking the position of the assistant director at Knoll Middle School, which is right here in Houston and Sheldon ISD. Moved. It was a very quick move, like very, very quick. And drove 12 hours from Atlanta and went to pre-planning the next day. Like it was very fast. But my summer, it was fast and slow. I felt like the first part of that summer was very slow, like things were just moving. And then at towards the end of that, things just started going. So at the beginning of the summer, we three went on a cruise together. And we really enjoyed the good Caribbean sun, which was a lot of fun. And then, I just came back and chilled, moved from my heart man and move Michael in, and we got a U-Haul stuck. It was a lot.
We did. Anthony originally got it stuck.
First of
And then
all,
I got it more stuck.
well, who told you to move on a dirt road on an incline in the country?
First of all, what you're not going to do is that and
I'm
not be
just
slandered.
saying.
Didn't you just equate yourself to a feather? So that means you're fat. Ain't you fast since you just be moving with the wind?
I don't know what your definition of fast and what you're trying to imply, but that's a no. I do that. Anyway, after that, I went to conduct the Air Force Band and had a really good time up there in DC. I love DC. If you've never been to DC, you should definitely go and just enjoy. It's amazing. And now we're here. We're back teaching middle school. And these middle schoolers, this generation, should I say, bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. They're funny, but bless them. Bless them.
What was that phrase they had you going with?
Skibbity Riz toilet.
I still don't know
What
what that
does
means.
that even mean? What does Skibbity Riz toilet, Ohio, whatever? All of these things. I'm like, where do y'all come up with this stuff?
I mean, funny because, like, are we old now? I feel like this
Y'all.
used to be us, right? This used to be
Y'all.
us where they're like, what are they talking about? And
But
oh, my
we've never had things like
oh,
Skibbity Riz toilet.
AARP over
Ooh.
here is young. I understand the kids.
You would so what is explain to us what skibbity d whatever Riz toilet. I don't even know what it is.
If you don't know it, it ain't meant for you.
And
That's because you
hey.
don't know it. That's what it is. You
Ha
don't know it. And first of all, Michael, every single time you get your teeth clocked by every middle school and high school person you come into contact with. Because they
first of all
ask, hold on. You ask them, how old am I? 42, 48,
no, the 39. Average age has gone down this year.
To what? 69?
34. Okay, 34. I mean, that's like 10 years more than I, but like it's
eight. You can't do math. Eight.
It's eight is basically 10.
Rounding.
Thank you.
Well, then that means Anthony's basically 30.
And what's wrong with that? What are you trying to say?
That's true.
What are you trying to say?
I already have your life alert on the way.
I'm glad you do, because I'll be ready to fall at any moment.
Mm.
Yeah, let's keep it a buck.
It's just so crazy, though, that I think about it. We always do this. We always reminisce about the start. But I wonder if we could see where we were now back then. I'm sure we would have so many questions. It's like, you went where and you did what? Why? How?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, it's so fun to like take a moment and reflect. I feel like we do that. We tend to do that a lot as a group and on the podcast, and it helps contextualize where we're going now, but also like, what's the future looking like? I mean, you're talking about students, and obviously we all all are teaching, you know, right now, and our educators in our own right. And it feels different. And it also feels a little, I don't know, we were kind of just talking about this. We're like, what's been going on in the world? And, you know, there's a lot happening, but in the music world, and like, you know, in particular, it's not as, you know, I don't know. It feels like, are we settled? Have we settled from 2020 finally? Mm-hmm. Or have we reverted back to where we were? You know, where are we at? What do we feel like the state of the classical music world is at the moment?
Yeah, because we definitely were thinking like, what's happening? I felt like right after 2020, up until even last year, things were not making the headlines as they were 2020, between 2020 and 2023. Because it was all just everything. Everything is right in front of you. People were making statements, and some statements were good, some statements were completely bad. But then I think last year, the statements started to change. Mm-hmm. More, I would say last year, and to a certain extent this year, has been a lot of reverting back from the decisions that are made in the government, starting last year and making their way into this year. Same thing with in the music community, how the efforts and the statements, the, you know, quote unquote statements and missions and values of wanting inclusivity, wanting equity, all of these things has just quietly left the scene now that we are in 2024 approaching 2025. So it is quietly going back to what it was before COVID, before the, you know, protests and things like that, which is a scary thing to think about, because in fact, the pool of people is just diversifying. More and more people are looking more like what the people you see on the street. But the other thing about that, those people who had positions, because we are reverting back, they are potentially can lose their positions. So I'm thinking of people like chief diversity officers.
Ooh.
People that were, you know, they created boards for diversity, mm-hmm. but now these boards are being disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
They're being, oh, we're going to put you at another title, then another title, and then eventually you're gone. That part is scary to me. It's eerily quiet right now.
And
huh?
We're finished.
I'm just, I'm unsettled, honestly. I don't know what the future is holding for any of us, actually.
I know in the state of Georgia, they no longer can make people do diversity, equity, and inclusion letters for hiring. Also, they have wiped those things from every course description in the USG. So especially when you're talking about like people's jobs, like if you can't have it in the course description and they're having to change literally like that, then your job title will have to change. But what is it going to change to?
Right.
And I think the reason why it's eerily settled now, actually, I have a couple of things. That why it's eerily settled now, it's unsettled, is because 2 months. In 2 months, a lot of shit gets determined. So right now, I think it's the calm before this. Like, we are in the eye of the hurricane. It's calm. But once November hits, the hurricane's going to move. And someone's going to be caught up in that Cat 5. And so it's like preparing for that. Now, in terms of like the music world has been quiet, I don't know. Like, do you mean like in the past month? Because over the summer, there was some stuff that popped off. Like DeMondre. And everything that happened at Indiana. Like that popped off and took off very quickly. Right after we got done recording for the last season before this season. That's popped off. Catherine Needleman has took quite a bit of stance against different people and different things. And people have used her to like voice their stuff. So I think there's still stuff going on. I just don't know if it's as apparent as it has been in the past. But it has gone down since the summer.
That's fair. There was a lot of, with everything that was happening, I remember that was probably near the last of what we were talking about, was everything going on in New York Phil. And Catherine Needleman absolutely has been like at the forefront of advocacy in terms of like making, like sharing these stories through what happened, everything that was going on with New York Phil. A lot of people started sharing their own experiences of sexual harassment within the classical music world. Some were like in professional settings, others were like students and teachers, which is, and it's, there's been plenty of that, I think, especially like throughout the spring and early summer. Like very inappropriate situations happening with collegiate students all around the country, even here in the Northwest as well. And I think, that's, unfortunately, it feels like those things have been happening, right? Because these are not like allegations that are like random. These have been, usually these people are tenured professors, people who've been there for a very long time, sometimes decades, you know, at these institutions who have been having these relationships with students as well. And that is there. I think the unsettled feeling that, and absolutely the election is going to have a huge play in that, but like I don't think it's just that. I think it that's a part of it. The things that are positive, though, I think that's coming out, it doesn't feel like it's sticking as much. It doesn't feel like it's being picked up or people really not care, but it's just kind of like, oh, that's nice. And then people move on, but there's not this like excitement about it. I think that's the feeling that I'm having right now is there's a lot of question marks about the future and definitely unsettled things. Cause there's a lot of things being from the past now being drug up. And if you can't help but feel that the more those things happen, the more we take steps back, does that mean to stop uncovering them, keep uncovering them. But I think this is a part of it, right? The more we uncover, the more we realize there's more groundwork. We got to go back and back and back to rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. And that's the only way we can even start thinking about the future, right? If we don't have teachers and professors who are in those positions, who know the basics of like morals and values and how to behave within these settings, how can we ever grow to be past what we currently are, right? We need the foundation for, and right now that foundation is being crack, 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 cracked open for good reasons. And maybe that's the point of it right now. Maybe, you know, all the excitement and things we want to see, they're going to come. There are some exciting new things that are being created, but maybe also it really is now again a time to focus on foundation building. Like, what are we really here for? What's the purpose of us in these positions, in these jobs? I will be very honest. I thought about that a lot this summer in particular. Like, what am I doing? Why am I here? What's the purpose of me being in the positions I'm in? And it's good to question that. It feels very necessary to question it, or you're just kind of part of a system, right? You're just kind of like, oh, I guess I'm just here, and you're kind of just playing into it. But at least for me, that's my take on it. That's why it feels quiet right now. And maybe that's a good thing.
You know, and it's funny that you say, you know, about questioning of why am I here? Because I think in the education world, there are people leaving in mass droves from education in general. Just a couple weeks ago, there was a headline that came out about a county in Georgia that they had 200, I believe, positions still open, and school started like the next day after that article was published. And that's there. That's everywhere. Many, many educators are questioning, why am I here? What is this doing? Is this really how I need to serve my purpose in life? Is this a job? Is this a career? Is this something that I can see myself doing for the amount of years it takes to survive in today's economy? There's many questions that are leading to so many people leaving our field. And one of those questions definitely probably came up the most, unfortunately, last week with the shooting that happened in Georgia. Unfortunately, two students lost their lives and two teachers lost their lives to this. And, you know, the first question that kind of comes up is, what family member would send their child or send their loved one, their mother, their father, their sister, their brother to a school not thinking that they'll come back? I saw someone make the comparison of, I sent my loved one to school not to be on the front line of a war. Whenever we start to make the comparisons between, oh my gosh, teachers need to be armed when they go to school, why is that the solution? Why are we not thinking about what do we need to do as a community to influence this generation and these kids that are coming up that this is not okay? If there's an issue, let's talk about it. Because there's so many people saying, oh, we should do this. But there is a change in today's students versus the ones that have come before. And we were part of the generation, like we were babies when Columbine first happened. Like, I don't even know if Michael and Lauren were born. I don't think you were.
So
let me fact check while you keep going.
It was 99, right? It was 99 or was it
99 or 98? It was one of those.
Yeah. April 20, 1999.
Yeah. Okay, so we were all born.
Yeah.
But you know, going from that to Sandy Hook to Stoneman Douglas to all of these, there is an issue at hand and we're trying to put band-aids on it, when instead we should be trying to fix the wound itself. So teachers, students, families are questioning, what is the purpose of this? And I don't know the answer. I know as currently a teacher right now that is going into public school, I'm doing double takes. When I'm sitting in my band room, I'm like, okay, if something happens, this is where, the students should go. This is how we can hide from this. Make sure that this door is closed, that door is closed. Up, let's make sure we can have something to obscure the vision into the room. These are the things that we are thinking about. I just saw a video from one of the students that was at Appalachian High School, and she was talking about how she saw the shooter, and the shooter was in her class, and the teacher just said, "Open the door for him." And she said, "No, he has a gun." That could, and she said, "If I would have opened that door, like my teacher would have asked, because we think things are normal. We're in school. He could have done way more heinous things, way higher death toll. We should not be subjecting students to even think about things like this. And for those teachers, that this is a job, remember, it is a job. And some have a passion for it and they love it and it's a full career, but this is a job. This is a 9 to 5, 8 to 5, whatever, however long you stay. But the idea is to clock out and come home to your family.
Oof.
The aftermath of that in Georgia has been a lot. Not only at Appalachie, it's just been everywhere has been on like soft lockdowns. Very much like I'm telling you, I've seen more officers at schools in the past week than I ever have at any school. Like I think at one of the schools I usually go to, I see one, I saw six. At another school, I saw like four. And it's just like, and then there was one school, they had them posted up on the entrances and exits. And I'm just like, it just hits different when the CNN says a school in Georgia. Because I'm like, wow, this school is an hour from where I live. At UNG, we serve over 400 Appalachian graduates. So it's just like, it's very different. I mean, a KSU alum was the assistant band director. We all went to school with her. So it hit different. And it's also just like, why in an educational learning environment is this a thing? Because I know for the longest time, people have equated metal detectors with like unsafe schools. But now I prefer it on every school. Like just put them up. Like, because no school is safe. The way it's going now, no school is safe. And it sucks to think about that.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
It's just so it's so heavy, like, and it's sad when you go on whatever social medias or news outlets, you get your information things from, and you see a high school trending and you already know what it is, right? Like it was because I don't think I heard about it. I think maybe Michael was the first person who told me, and then that was a super long day for me, so I wasn't on socials all day. And then I finally got on at the end of the day, and my Facebook was flooded with, news of it. And yeah, the fact that we know people who are there currently, who have been there, and it really could happen to anyone. I think it's really starting to be a thing where it's not about the zoning, it's not about if they're, what level of funding they have. This could happen at any school. It could happen at any school. And going back again to the election that's coming up here, I think these are the moments where we have to think and remember, like, there are policies, right, that allow for things to and to not happen. And if you want things to change, you got to use whatever voice, if that means going to vote, if that means doing whatever, calling your local representatives and talking to them, going to board meetings and using your voice to stand up for what's going on. whatever you need to do to feel like, you like to do you want to do something. If you want to do something, you want to help be a part of it, know that it's all of it matters. Like this, that what's happening in schools right now is not a standalone thing. That's just a random thing about education that's going on. It is not. It's all tied together by whoever, is making the laws and who says what should be doing and what or whatever they're blaming, on. It's just, I'm just tired at this point. Anytime I read about it, I just feel so heavy. And yeah, the idea that you could send your kid, you could kiss your wife, husband, whoever, goodbye that morning, and you see a news headline, with their school's name in it. And that's what happened, right? With I think one of the students, their families like heard about it and they tried to send something out like he might be freaked out, he might be freaked out, like just approach him, like slow, because I believe this student had autism, and he was one of the ones who ended up passing. And it's just what a horrifying situation to ever have to be in. There's no excuse for it. There's no like thoughts and prayers are we're done with that. Like it's not enough. Like it can't just be thoughts and prayers, right? We have to do something with it, or it's going to con it is continuing to happen. We're still having this conversation now. Yeah, so really to all the families, teachers, everyone in the communities there out in Georgia, like truly our hearts go out to you. Can't imagine what the aftermath and the conversations that had to be had at home with, the survivors. Yeah.
I will say
Wow.
something that really rubs me the wrong way, and I think this about from the highest level all the way down to the smallest level. I feel as though that we wait until things happen before we take action. Meaning, for this case here, the shooter was already looked at by local authorities and their school of saying, okay, this person is on a list. I've already made threats, but we wait until something, a shooting, a school shooting happened for that person to be held accountable. Same thing when we look at some of the things in the symphony orchestra. We know that some of these people are wrong, but we wait for them to do something that either involves somebody else's life, somebody else's safety. We wait until it happens. Even the law itself, if someone goes missing, oh, you have to wait 48 hours before we can actually do something. 48 hours. The entire system waits for things to get worse before something can be done. And it's moments like this when it really comes to head, when this could have been avoided if things were done May of 2023, when the original threat was made. That's what really rubs me the wrong way.
And to piggyback off of Anthony, I was doing my due diligence before I spoke out of turn. So just like, quick Google search, which I don't understand why these things keep happening with a quick Google search. So from Columbine, if that is our starting point of like the worst school shootings ever, that was 13 killed. And then they're like, okay, cool. Never again. We're going to do so much. 32 killed at Virginia Tech. Oh my God, we're never going to let that happen. Sandy Hook, 26 killed. Never again will we let that happen. Stoneman Douglas, 17 killed. Never again will we let that happen. Robb Elementary School, 21 killed. In Texas. So I hate that Anthony lives in Texas now, if you can't tell. And then now, like another one. And it's just like, when, like, the true question is when will it stop? Like, anything, injured, killed, like none of it. A gun going off on campus, like just any of that, especially elementary schools. Like, that's what I don't get. Like, two of the biggest ones in the U.S. history have been elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, elementary school, university, and then there's been an uptick in, like, high school ones. And it's just like, it sucks. And it sucks is not even a good word to say it. It's just like, why do we keep fighting to have guns? Like, okay, cool, First Amendment, all this other stuff. Okay, if you do it, can you take care of them? So a child who is not mentally okay, and that's a whole different conversation. Like, when a child gets flagged, something has to be done about it. Like, there's something at UNG, which, I mean, there's probably somewhere like this. Like, see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it anonymously. Mm-hmm. And then our counselors reach out to the students. And they don't reach out accusatorily. They reach out like, hey, just want to see if you're doing okay. Want to make sure your classes are going well. And they frame it that way. It's just like, but I mean, Anthony has informed me and other public school teachers, there's files on kids
mm-hmm.
when there's things of like just keeping track of how they are in classes. How does this get missed? I know teachers do more work than they are paid for. Like, everybody knows this. And this is another thing on top of it. Like, you have to look in a sea of students out of how many you have and be like, these four, I'm like, they need help in some ways. But then I have to go fill out so much paperwork, have meetings with these things. But then again, after you do all that, there's still not something done. Or there's still not alerts. Or there still isn't this. And nothing is being done about it. Like, as Anthony said, the original threat happened earlier. Like, that should have been done, like, set in stone. We're done. Like, when a threat is made, that's it.
Mm-hmm. You know, something I'm about to say can be taken many ways, but I'm just going to have to say it. As a teacher, I believe parents need to have more control and more agency over their children.
Yes. Meaning,
I know some parents, like, I have had personal meetings with parents who have literally said, they're not my problem, they're your problem between these hours. You deal with it.
Ew.
And on that note, with having parents accountable for their child's actions, I'm not going to say that this is the first time, but it gave me pleasure to see the father of this shooter being held accountable. A, because he supplied
right
that type of, first of all, that type of gun, an AR, was it AR-15, that gun?
Pretty sure, because everybody is obsessed with that gun. Because we're at war at home, because it's just, we just need those
AR-15s. And he gave that to his son after already having that, you know, the parent meeting that educators are supposed to have, and saying that your child had made a threat against the school. That parent thought, oh, well, he made a threat, let me go buy him a gun for his birthday, and he's not ever going to use this. Yeah, sir, you are an accessory to murder. To murder, literally. Teachers can only do so much. And especially when your child is in 6 through 12, we see that student between 45 and to 90 minutes a day.
Right.
You, the parents, see your child way more than just one teacher. Mm-hmm. Parents, and I'm not trying to throw parents under the bus. What I'm saying is that we need to be a team, because we are raising these children together, teacher, parents together. We could sit here and have all of these, you know, paperwork that says this and that and blah, blah, blah. But if that child goes home and they're like, oh, I can play with guns. Oh, I can say this. Oh, I can do that. Then they're going to come back to school with that same mentality. I have also had many meetings with students who say, oh, yeah, my mom, my dad let me do that. So I can do it here.
Yep.
That's what I mean, that there has to be some type of change as a culture, as a society, because our children are suffering. We are suffering. We cannot send our kids to school because of this. Parents, I am so thankful I had an older set of parents because they did not play. They did not play one bit.
Nope.
And I see some of these kids now, and I just think, what in the world? Where does this behavior stop? So if you know parents or you are a parent, and really think about it. You cannot just rely on teachers to mold your child. We are molding them together. It takes a village to raise up someone. And we are here to help, but we are not the end all be all. I cannot say this anymore. Teachers are suffering. Part of that reason for teachers leaving is that it's getting out of control. It's really getting out of control.
Two things to echo. What happens when there's not enough teachers? Like, what happens when this whole workforce is just going to leave? Because I'm sorry, if it was me and that happened to my school, I love kids and I love like educating. I have to quit. Like, I could not feel safe enough to pull up in that parking lot again.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what happened to my colleagues, my friends. Also, to echo Anthony, nor should you let teachers be the only molding power. If I have a child, whoop, these hands, we mold this thing like clay. Because that's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Like, a child, a person, anything in this world is molded by so many different things. And so when you let people that are not your child's parents mold them, and then you probably get mad at them at home for acting a certain way, what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot get mad at people when you don't be in their lives.
Yep. You pose the question of what will happen next. I can ponder on what will happen next. And in fact, something that is happening currently, when teachers leave, and I'm specifically talking about public education teachers, when they leave the workforce, the next thing that will happen is the privatization of education, which really then we're going to have an issue, because only the elite, only the people that are wealthy can afford to have an education, which for some people right now, that's exactly what they want. As a person here in the state that I'm currently in, it's on the precipice of happening. So I want you to think, if public education ceased to exist, will you have enough to send your child to a private school? to private education and think about what will they be teaching? Because they don't have to teach the things that they don't want to teach. They don't have, they can go train of thought, and that is it.
And they'll make sure that train of thought is used by everybody from science to English to math to history. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, also with privatization, we're going to reverse, we're going to go in the reverse and retrograde our entire society. Like, we went from education only being for the wealthy and stuff to education for everybody, to then back to education only for certain people again. I make it make sense. And then everybody gets so mad while people make fun of the U.S. This is why.
The truth in all of this, you know, whether it's classical music, the state of education right now, political scene, cycles repeat themselves when we have not learned our lesson from the last time. We will continue to see the same exact things happen over and over and over if the approach, the process, every step we take is exactly the same way. You will only start seeing progress if you actually start making changes. So until that time comes where we decide, you know, this is enough, and, you know, using our powers as citizens to vote and the people in those positions uphold, you know, what it is desired by the people who they serve, we're going to keep seeing this happen over and 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 over. So absolutely, this, the thing about being private, now we're public going back to private. Absolutely, because we forgot why public education is needed. I want everyone to think, and this is something you can reflect on, you know, if you're listening to this in the car, if you're listening to this before bed, you're waking up and listening to this. If you went to school, to public school, I want you to think about if public school was not a thing, think about if you would have been able to have an education. Just think about that, because a lot of people leapfrogged. Public school was their way. School was their way into getting where they want to be currently, where you currently are. Would you be there if public school was not accessible, if it was only private school? Would you be where you are? Then I want you to think about the students who are facing this imminent possibility of privatization of education. Where would they go? What do we do? What would they do? What would life even be like for them? And maybe take also a moment to think about what you can do as an individual, right? We know there's power in what we do as individuals, especially when we act as a collective. You know, find your people, figure out what to do. This is being talked about all over, you know, there's something we can do, but it's tiring. I'm tired. Even pondering about it and talking about it, it feels so heavy on my spirit to think about this right now. And I think all we can hope for is that we end this cycle. Something's got to change. And it's not going to end it's not going to end magically. It's not going to end with a thought and a prayer. It's going to end with new actions being taken to change the outcome.
Agreed. So please take some time to think about these things and find a way for us to make a collective change together. But as you all know, we will always have this conversation here. That is what our platform is for. We talk more than just music, as you see. We talk about the world that is around us and the way it is relative to us and people like us. So thank you so much for being on this with us and joining us in our season 5. And we look forward to having more episodes this season. We have some really good fun things scheduled, and please keep listening. Reach out to us. We'll love to talk with you as well. So until next time, have a great rest of your week. Bye-bye.